Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here are your hosts, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lassiter, and Corey Labounty.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. And joining us on WYAA 106.5 in Sylacauga, Childersburg, Talladega, and the entire Talladega County region. Also 105.1 WRFS, 105.1 The Lake, 45,000 beautiful acres that Mark Lassiter absolutely adores, and I guess we all do that grew up on that lake, Mark.
Yep. I do love that lake. It's a beautiful lake. Love it in the morning, love it in the evening, and I love it during the afternoon. You can't hardly beat it. It's just a beautiful place to go and visit and fish and hang out and see old friends. It's a good place to go.
Good morning, Corey Labounty.
Good morning, Coach. Always a pleasure to join you each and every Saturday morning here on the Prep Sports Report.
Of course, you just heard from Mark and Dalt's on the board and making sure that we do what we're supposed to do and that we keep Mark in line for 2 hours.
So. That's Dalt's main job, and I really appreciate the way he cuts me off every now and then. And no, I'm kidding. Dalt does a great job for us.
You know, this week all the coaches have been in Montgomery, and I guess the big news that comes out of Montgomery is what's going on with the court case, and Corey and I talked about last week. We're not going to discuss the court case, but I think what the Alabama High School Athletic Association has done is responded to that federal lawsuit. They have decided as a board. Now, that's something, and Mark, you were talking about this before we went on the air. I don't think people understand. And it's if you're outside, kind of outside the circle of coaches and administrators and people in the school business, I think everybody wants to point the finger at the executive branch of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. Well, anytime there is something going on in litigation, then certainly both sides are going to have to, one will make a decision and the other will answer it. And then the courts will certainly make a determining factor, determine what eventually happens there. But the Alabama High School Athletic Association has responded to St. Paul's and their continuing litigation as far as carrying on the lawsuit by putting revenue sharing on hold. Now, what that does is it affects every single school in the state of Alabama. And so, Mark, I know you've been in Montgomery. You've heard from all the coaches, and you kind of get a heartbeat of what's going on. But I kind of want to get your perspective on this, because by holding back on the revenue sharing, which they certainly must do because they're involved in a lawsuit that could – it could run into, I don't know how many, several million dollars. And so instead, they have to keep, one of the things that they try to do at the High School Athletic Association is keep a year's supply of a surplus, at least a year's supply of revenue intact. But now with this lawsuit, they have decided as a legislative council and as a central board, who are the ones that govern this high school athletics, at the behest of the school administrators, when they send them what they want done, now they're going to hold back revenue sharing. And we knew this was coming. Kind of, what's the heartbeat in Montgomery now from all the coaches that you get?
You know, I think most of the coaches there understand what all has transpired and what all is going on. I guess the sense that I got is most everybody is like, you know, this is the way it is. It's not going to change, you know, not right now for sure. It's set in stone for this coming football season, or not set in stone, but it's the way it is on paper. That's the way we're going to go ahead and proceed with the rulings of the legislative council, and we're going on. And most of the coaches are kind of saying, no, we understand, we see what, you know, everybody there has an opinion about it. Every coach does. For the most part, everybody's just kind of saying, let's just get ready to play football. and let's move on into our year and let the courts handle it. Because basically right now it's in the hands of the lawyers and court system. It's not really I don't know how much the actual school at St. Paul's has involved in it any longer. I don't really know. I feel like it's probably the lawyers are taking this forward where they want to go with or how they want to proceed. And I'm sure they'll do it at whatever St. Paul's wants to do. But I'm not in that school, so I don't really know what's going on. But the main thing is everybody has a feeling about it. They're just ready for school to get started and move forward. And I don't think a lot of the private school folks are kind of like, well, we're not really crazy about it, but maybe this is the best thing to do for right now. But maybe we can look into it this year and come up with a change or an adjustment or a tweaking, so to speak, to make it right. I hope we can do that because there's still some things in it I'm not in total agreement with. But I believe the whole overriding sense is that that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to go.
Well, and like Corey and I said last week, we're not going to get involved in the lawsuit. We're just not going to do it. We're not going to talk about that. But what I will tell you is what the Alabama High School Athletic Association has done is, and you need to know this, is that the association last year distributed over $2 million to member schools. But the executive director, Steve Savarese, announced Friday night, I think last night, I think it's when he told everyone.
It was yesterday morning, maybe,
that the money must be kept in reserve because of the potential long legal battle that is in federal court right now. Now, there is no indication when the revenue sharing will resume, but it is their full intention to continue it at some point in time, Corey.
Well, I have to tip my hat to the AHSAA for even getting into revenue sharing with the schools. It's a way to give back. The schools have already through their gates and their profits. It's an opportunity. Since 2009 is when the AHSAA started the revenue sharing, and since that point in time, they have given back over the last 9 years close to $12 million. 2 years ago, it was $1.8 million. This past year, it was $2 million, and as we've been mentioning here, now it's on hold until some litigation can be resolved. But with that being said, sometimes the smaller schools were counting on that for football refurbishment here that's about to begin, so maybe they have to back that process up a little bit, but eventually I think it will all work itself out.
Well, somebody had asked me, said, well, Coach, how much money does a school get per year? Well, I can tell you for 6A and 7A schools, it's around $7,000 a year. Now, the smaller schools get less, and as it is in every venture, but 6A and 7A schools annually receive somewhere between $4,500 and $5,000. So, you know, it'll really affect some of the smaller schools. It'll affect everybody. I mean, because everybody counts on that money coming in, just like all of us do on our monthly paychecks. But that's the way the Alabama High School Athletic Association has kind of answered this newfound litigation, and it's something they have to do to keep their books where they need to keep them. So that's where we are with that. In the meantime, I can promise you Steve Mask and the St. Paul Saints football team is moving forward, just like Jim Tate's cross country team is, just like the volleyball teams are moving forward there at St. Paul's, like all of us are in all of our fall sports that are coming about. So that's kind of where we are with that. And we certainly want to highlight the children and the coaches, and we want to stay away from this litigation. You can catch that on some other type of news media. I'm sure Dalt and Sean, y'all will talk about that in the morning on the morning show. That's certainly something that is of utmost importance to not only to Mobile, but to the entire state of Alabama, Mark.
That's correct, and it is, and it's something that's going to continue on for a while. And the great thing about our show is we get to talk about kids and move forward and the lighter side of it. I wanted to give a shout-out real quick, Coach, before we get off for break. A young man from up around the Lake region, Cade Worthy, was a Bryant Jordan Award winner from Class 2A and spoke to the membership yesterday morning, superintendents, principals, athletic directors. And I'm going to tell you something. You talk about Cade Worthy. He's from Horseshoe Bend High School.
Yeah.
And his daddy played ball when I was at Benjamin Russell, Greg. Nonetheless, Cade spoke, talked about what coaches have meant to his life, what sport has meant to his life. It was one of those moving speeches that I, as a coach, just love to hear. Congratulations to Cade Worthy from Horseshoe Bend High School.
We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile, Alabama.
Premier Motorsports communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. This segment of the Prep Sports Report, presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
This is the day of the expanding man. That shape is my shame, there where I used to stand.
Welcome back to PSR. You know, we can usually ask Corey to keep us posted on everything going on, but let's tell you kind of what went on at All-Star Week this week. In football, of course, Thursday night, the North defeated the South 27-14. In volleyball, the South defeated the North 3-1. In cross country, the South was victorious in the girls and the boys. So South's had a pretty good week in basketball. The North girls defeated the South girls 66-57. And then the boys division, the South defeated the North 61-57. So that's really neat, the scores on that. In baseball, the South, and they usually play two games in this. The South defeated the North in the first game 3-2. And in the second game, the North defeated the South 6-2. In soccer, the North defeated the South in girls soccer 2-0. And in boys soccer, the North defeated the South 2-1. In softball, of course, they played two games as well. The South defeated the North 3-0 in the first game. And in the second game, the North defeated the South 5-4. So that's it's kind of interesting. That's a lot of kids get a chance to go up and play in a high school all-star game. I know that they've added we're going to add tennis to that next year. That's something that we're going to add and have just some North-South competition. I don't know if they did it. I don't think they do anything in golf.
I think they're starting to. They mentioned that in the meeting on Tuesday. I don't know if it's going to be this next year, but I know it is in the works to happen.
Right. So that's they're trying to get every sport involved with some type of all-star game. You know, the problem with that is trying to get the – especially with spring sports, and I know they deal with this with baseball as well. You have young men that are playing and young ladies that are playing maybe tournament tennis, tournament golf, playing travel baseball, and so on and so forth. And some of them don't want to break that kind of break their schedule up in order to go spend a couple of days in Montgomery to play in a high school all-star game that in some people's eyes is meaningless, but in reality it's really a great way to represent your school and also to showcase your talents, because I'm sure that there's some effects that you might get from that as far as somebody seeing you and maybe leading to something athletically later on. Corey, I know that basketball right now is in a kind of a dead period, and but boy, did you see the speakers that they had in Montgomery this week?
Very, very impressive. I know Avery Johnson, University of Alabama's head coach, spoke, as well as Tom Crean, the new coach for the Georgia Bulldogs. Those two, as well as Tony Pujols, who's the new coach at North Alabama. So those three speakers alone, I know, brought a lot of thunder. And when you have that type of ability to go out and reach in your own backyard and get an Avery Johnson, or go next door and get a Tom Crean to come in, it just speaks volumes of the love and the passion that these coaches have. As we spoke a week ago, I do believe that the Coaches Association is going to happen in basketball, but for people to have an opportunity to get hands-on learning, I think it just benefits all the state's coaches.
You know, the more I learn about Neil Brown, the more I think about him, Mark. I mean, the head football coach at Troy, this past week, most of us remember, and I know Corey remembers better than Mark and I do, but Gulf Shores had a quarterback by the name of Nathan Harris, who was killed in a motorcycle accident in April of 2016. Of course, Nathan went to Troy, ended up not being in the hunt as one of the quarterbacks, didn't get in, wasn't in the rotation there, but he worked himself into a position where he was the holder for all the placement kicks. And of course, when Nathan passed away in this automobile, I mean in this motorcycle accident, Coach Neil Brown decided to send I think it was a Sun Belt. They won the Sun Belt Conference championship. He sent a championship ring to Nathan's parents there in Gulf Shores. And, you know, that was not only did they send one to Nathan, they also sent one to Corey McCullers. And Corey McCullers, you know, obviously passed away too. And, but boy, what a just a. I'm on another planet thinking that we need more men like Neil Brown in our profession that would do something like that. Can you imagine the impact that had not only on the players to know that their coach would do that for one of their fallen teammates? That's just something that, but that's to me, and you can call it a shout out, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but what a commendable thing for Neil Brown and the Troy staff to do.
Absolutely. And Rick, you know, I'm going to take that a step even further. First of all, I know Neil. I going back years ago when my oldest son was really I think he was in middle school, seventh grader, he went with me to a camp at Troy.
Right.
And he was a little intimidated because he was in there with the seniors and juniors, and he wasn't big enough or strong enough to do a lot of the things they were doing. And Neil recognized that and walked over and grabbed him and said, "Hey, come on with me." Put him in his cart, rode him around on the campus, showed him some stuff, got him to help Neil do some things, realizing that Brooks couldn't do some of the things he was needing to do. And and that meant a lot. And then, I mean, probably 7 or 8 years later, Rick, I saw Neil somewhere, and the first thing he asked, he said, first, "Coach, how are you doing?" I said, "Fine." He goes, "How's Brooks doing?"
Oh, that's amazing.
And, you know, and that tells you a little bit about the character of the man.
Yeah.
And I'll be real quick right here, but here's the thing that I want to say. As I get really, really, really aggravated at the media in our country and in our state who have a tendency to accentuate the negative. We talk about all the things that are bad that are going on with players and different sports and coaches. Boy, that's news. Yeah. We want to get that out there. Everybody loves drama, and everybody loves to see somebody else get in trouble. Why don't we have more stories like that? There's more out there. There's more stories out there about coaches and administrators and teachers in our state that do great things for kids. Great things that go unnoticed. And they don't want notification for it. They don't want publicity for it, but it ought to be given because we have a tendency in our country, and I'm not picking on media. I'm just saying in our country, our overriding thing to me today is we have a tendency to really accentuate negative things that go on, bad things, and we talk about that because that sells media, I suppose. I don't really know. But what about the good things folks do? Those are things that need to be talked about. And that's why I love our show, because that's what we do.
Well, and you know, another person that needs to be pointed out is Ben Blackman was the head coach at Gulf Shores when Nathan played there. And Ben really went way out of the way. I mean, when I say out of the way, I mean he went the extra mile to get Nathan just a walk-on opportunity at Troy.
Right.
And they, you know, I think if you use the word highly recommended, that's exactly what Ben did when he recommended Nathan Harris to the coaching staff at Troy at that time. And so, you know, that's just boy, what an amazing, amazing story that is.
That is a great story.
I'm just telling you, that's something that you just don't hear every day. You just don't hear it every day. And what a class act Coach Neil Brown is. And you know, for those of you who are Troy graduates, and I'm one of those guys that's got an advanced degree from Troy, that certainly makes those of us as proud as we can be of the people that they have in place at Troy.
Not only that, I mean, you go back and look at his high school coach and Ben Blackman, the current Spanish Ford High School coach, who coached Nate for 3 years at Gulf Shores, just had nothing but positive things that echoes the sentiments that you guys shared. And it's just a classy act because sometimes, you know, we use that hashtag gone but not forgotten. This just emphasizes the impact that he had.
You know, Neil Brown and his entire coaching staff were at that funeral. Yep. They were there. They were there, along with about 25 to 30 of his teammates. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Parker Dental and Orthodontics. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Babies in the running round. But you know, we have lots of guys that have, you know, gone on and played professional sports and give back and give back and give back and keep giving back. I can remember as a high school coach and watching Captain Munlin play at Murphy. I got tickled watching that young man play, because it didn't matter what sideline the ball was on, Captain Munlin was going absolutely fast tracking, taking the best pursuit angles, and if he got a chance to hit you,
he's going to hit you.
You're going to remember it. And that's you know, I often wondered, as Captain was playing with the Carolina Panthers and then he went to the Vikings, I wonder if he and Steve Smith ever got into it in practice. So that's what, Corey, I know you're going to touch base with your buddy, Captain Munlin. But, Captain, I can tell you we're thankful for everything Absolutely. That you do for the people here in Mobile and of course, your school at Murphy. And Mark Laster and Rick Cleveland are huge fans of yours, and I know Corey has a deep, deep-rooted respect for you. But thank you for taking some time to spend with us here on Prep Sports Report. And for 17 years we've been doing this, but I can tell you this, I don't know of any player that played the game that I enjoyed watching any more than the captain. I can promise you that, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that. Yes, sir. Thank you for that.
Captain, thanks for taking the time this morning. You have a very special camp. It's your 9th annual camp. It's being held at Murphy High School. I know you had a silent auction earlier this week that was Wednesday. Tell us about your camp and giving back not only to Murphy High School but the community as well, because there's book bags involved for those that registered, and we're just so happy to have you giving back to the community.
Oh, yes, sir, man. Like you said, this is my 9th annual football camp. I still can't believe it. It's like, wow. You know, I've been in the league now for 10 years, and I've been doing this camp every year since I've been in the NFL, every offseason. So it's my 9th annual. I'm giving back to the community. Man, it's just like coming back home, man. It's putting smiles on these kids' faces, putting smiles on these parents' faces and things like that, man. And with the book bag drive, the first 250 kids that shows up that get free book bags with school supplies in it, man. I just want to pull into the community and just let them know, man, that I'm here for them. The Captain Munlin Foundation is here for them. And let them know, man, anything is possible. Look at some of these kids that come into these football camps these days, man. They bigger than me. And I was like, man, y'all, you know, look at me. I'm a 5'9 cornerback that's been in the NFL now going on 10 years, man. Anything is possible. You put your mind to it, man. You work hard. You know, you got to get your grades. And I always preach that to the kids, man. You got to get the good grades. and the rest will take care of itself.
Captain was drafted in the seventh round of the 2009 NFL draft by the Carolina Panthers. Had an opportunity again to spend time in Carolina, go to Minnesota, and now back with the Panthers. Talk to us about your teammates and the silent auction that you were able to have on Wednesday and how the foundation uses those proceeds to continue to help the Captain Munnelin Foundation with the backpacks, the giving back, the lectures that you do year-round.
Yes, sir. I was very inspired to do things like that through my guy, Thomas Davis, man, who played linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. He won Man of the Year Award for giving back to the community and the things that he do, man. And I wanted to start my foundation, and I was fishing, you know, for ideas. I was going to him, asking him questions, different things like that. And, man, the silent auction did very well. If you think about it, man, I got guys like Cam Newton jersey, Cam Newton cleat, Luke Kuechly, who's a future Hall of Famer cleat, his jersey, and Thomas Davis jersey. I had a lot of different guys in the NFL jerseys. And the proceeds is going to help. You know, I'm big on giving back to the community. It's going to help with giving back to the community, giving back to single parents, and giving back to the March of Dimes, man. I'm big on March of Dimes because I was a premature baby. You know, a lot of people don't know I was born 3 months earlier, man. So, and it's for me to be in the position that I'm in now, man, it's just like I'm truly a blessing. I always tell people that, man. Being in the hospital for a whole year when I was born, to me, look at me now. And I always preach that to the kids when I go to the hospital and talk to the premature babies.
Captain, I mean, you're getting ready to start some training. I mean, I do believe in the next couple of days you'll be heading to Carolina to get ready for season.
On Wednesday.
Reporting on Wednesday. Talk to us about the Carolina Panthers and your expectations going into now the preseason and how excited you are to, again, be bringing back the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, man, I'm very excited. If you've been following our quarterback on Instagram or any social media, he's been putting in the work, man. I think he's very excited. I think Cam Newton is very ready this year. The Super Bowl is in his hometown, and I think he's ready to roll, man. I really think we're going to get the best Cam Newton that we ever had, man. And, defensively-wise, I'm very excited to be coming back with a good defense, man. I play with two of the best linebackers in the NFL, and Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly, man. So you put me in the mix with that, man. I feel like we're going to be a very special group. I'm excited, even though we did lose to the New Orleans Saints three times last year. But we got to get that, you know, past us, and you're ready to roll, man. This year is a brand new year, a brand new start, and it starts on Wednesday.
Captain, just want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule this morning. Know you have to get back to those campers and be hands-on, but thank you for pouring back in the community. Want to wish you the best in your upcoming NFL season with the Carolina Panthers, and couldn't ask for a greater guy. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Captain.
Thanks, Captain.
I'm going to tell you right now, that ain't no build up. That's
no,
the real deal.
That is.
I mean, I'm gonna tell you right now.
He was like that when he was younger. I remember it was when he was at Murphy. We played him in a playoff game, and he got a pick six on us. We were fighting back into the game, and I thought we had a chance to get back in it. And for some reason, our quarterback threw it to his side of the field, and I'm not sure why it went over there. I guess the guy, he thought he was open, and Captain was so fast, the guy could look open. And then by the time the ball got there, he was covered. And then next thing I know, he's going down the sideline and kind of put the game out of reach for us. But always was a class act in high school.
Yeah.
You know, his coach, Ron Lee, speaks nothing but, you know, highly of him. And I appreciate the man he is and the representation he gives of Murphy High School and from our community and taking it out to the NFL. It's just a good thing.
You know, so many are giving backs in this community. I know Boogie Cousins, Corey, you know much more about this than we do, but Boogie Cousins is giving back to his community. Talk a little bit, Corey, about some of the ones that you're familiar with. You look at Sherman Williams and what Sherman has done. Jake Peavy for years gave here. Jay Price is trying to do the same thing here in Mobile. You just look at so many former high school athletes in the Mobile area that are now giving back to their, not only to their community, but to their high schools.
I mean, the list goes on and on and on, because again, we've spoken so many times about per capita, the number of NFL caliber athletes that Mobile and Baldwin County produces. And it's unbelievable, because these young men decide to come back because they understand that they are role models, whether it's DeMarcus Cousins in basketball. Don't want to overlook anybody like A.J. McCarron this past
week. Right.
C.J. Mosley donated money to Theodore High School. Captain Munnelin gave money back to Murphy's weight room and to the school to improve it after they retired his jersey. It just goes on. You look at what the Daphne Trojans were able to do.
Yeah.
Four NFL guys on that roster that played for Coach Vickery at Daphne continued to give back. The list just goes on. You look at all the Vigor alumni who have given back in the NFL, whether it's Willie Anderson, it Jalston Fowler. It goes on and on and on about the number of athletes that we have that love to give back to their community, and some of them give back and don't even want to get credit for it. I mean, that's the great thing about it. So many of them are giving back not only to the schools that they went to, but their communities as well, and don't want to take any credit for it.
That's right, and I know they don't, but I think we ought to figure out a way to we got to accentuate the positive. I'm going to hit on that a little bit today, because I get aggravated every time I look at the I see the news or the TV or read something in the, online or in the paper. It's just so much things about people who are doing things wrong. What about all those folks who do things right, you know, and talk about them a little bit? I don't know. It's a pet peeve of mine. I need to be quiet because I can just keep talking about it. But, yeah, so many people are doing so many great things these days. It's amazing. And you just can't help but just warm your heart whenever you hear stories like that.
You know, when Corey, you hit the nail on the head. You said something about Vigor, and I can't help but think about my buddy and our buddy, Robert Brazil. Robert Brazil getting inducted into the National Football Hall of Fame in the class of 2018. And, you know, of course, Robert, Dr. Doom. If you talk to or hear people on nationally syndicated radio shows that talk about being hit and who made an impact on you as much as anybody, it was Robert Brazil. Of course, he was a preeminent linebacker in the NFL during his career, and he played from 1975 to 1984 with the old Houston Oilers. Of course, I think most people recognized him for his speed and his size and his strength, and he was a first-round draft pick. As a matter of fact, I think the sixth player drafted overall. And, if you know Robert Brazil, let me tell you what he did, guys. He and his wife volunteered at Vigor, and Robert took up tennis. And his wife was an avid tennis player. And they did everything. They started a tennis program at Vigor. I think at one time they had between 25 and 30 kids playing tennis, and they paid for everything, got those kids out there and practiced with them every day. And here's a guy that's a Hall of Famer in the National Football League, and that you're talking about giving back. That's just another way that Robert Brazil and his wife gave back to his old school. I love the guy, and I'm so thankful that he's finally going to be inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame.
Long overdue. Long overdue. Great football player.
All right. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5. Of course, you can get in touch with us at 251-343-0106, either by phone or by text. We'd love to hear from you.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report is presented by Future Ones, providers of practice apparel and scout team jerseys with interchangeable numbers. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR. You know, instant replays come into high school football, and that's something that I think Thursday night they tried that out. Steve had told me earlier that they were going to try this instant replay out, DV Sport. A company, of course, that specializes in instant replay, and they are the partner of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. They're partnered with them in this instant replay.
Here's the thing on instant replay. They did use it Thursday night in the game, and they had, I think there were two different instances where they had to check it, and in both instances, the referees on the field were correct. So there really wasn't a problem there. But here's the issue I've got with instant replay, is that instant replay is so it's going to be expensive. I don't know how people can play.
No, I don't either.
I don't see how people can. But, you know, and Steve made a comment, and I haven't talked to him about it, made a comment in the meeting yesterday that if you have a question, you got a problem of a ruling in a game or a call that was made, and you send your film up there, the first thing they're going to ask you is, well, do you have instant replay? Well, that's not really fair, in my opinion, to those schools who can't afford it.
Can't afford it. Yeah.
You know, that's not right. But now, I'm sure there's more to it than what Steve was talking about. I mean, I think there is, about how these things can be avoided, because that does concern me some.
Joining us now on the Prep Sports Report is Ken Winston. They're having their triple threat, Pete Myers and Ken Winston basketball camp. That will be today and tomorrow from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. at the McGill Tulin CYO Gym. And this is another great way to give back to the community, to have young people involved and active in this summertime. And I know it's something that Pete Myers and Ken Winston have been doing for a couple of years now. Ken, good morning, and thank you for joining us this morning on the Prep Sports Report.
Good morning.
Ken, tell us a little bit about how this camp evolved and how you got involved with Pete Myers to try to bring basketball fundamentals to our area.
Gino got together about 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, and we were just trying to figure out a way that we can, you know, push basketball down here in this area, because, you know, we felt like it was a real need, you know, for the fundamental side of the game here. You know, it's, you know, mainly players get, you know, recognized for football here, so we tried to figure out a way to, you know, push the basketball side of it, and we came up with this camp, a way to develop the skills and fundamentals.
Ken Winston is a former Mr. Basketball in the state of Alabama. He prepped at Blount High School, went on to play at the University of Alabama, and then has had success, much success, playing basketball overseas. And Pete Myers is the answer to a trivia question. Who is the person who took Michael Jordan's spot when Michael Jordan retired the first time from the Chicago Bulls? And the answer to that is none other than Pete Myers. And Pete Myers played basketball at Faulkner State Community College and prepped at Williamson High School as well. So you take that, and Pete Myers' son, Gino Myers, does an outstanding job in skill development and helping young people, boys and girls, become better in this game. Ken, how have you seen the camp grow over the last couple of years?
It's grown tremendously. From our first camp, I mean, we probably had 50, 60 kids. Now it's done double the triple that size. But, you know, kids are really looking forward to it every year. You just, around this time, you can just feel excitement with the kids, you know, through social media. The parents are very involved. We really appreciate the parents, you know, getting them involved and getting them signed up. And they've been really active in their role as well in this.
You know, and talking to Kennedy Winston, I certainly remember watching him play, of course, at the at Blount High School, and Kennedy, of course, I don't know if many people remember this. You're originally verbally committed to the University of California, and I think at the time your mom was very ill, and they did grant you your release, if I'm not mistaken. And and then, of course, you went and you signed with the University of Alabama. After your playing career, boy, you have traveled all over the world playing basketball, hadn't you, pal?
Yeah. Yeah, I play in 11 different countries. I've seen quite a lot.
I can imagine you have played in some arenas that you could tell some stories about as well.
Right.
Well, what is kind of share with us a couple of things that really impressed you about international basketball, because those of us here don't know, even our expert on basketball, Corey LeBounty, I would imagine that would be his weakness, would be international professional basketball. Kind of tell us just a little bit about international basketball that kind of stands out in your career.
I would say the first thing is the way, the structure, the way they expect you to work as a professional. You know, you run very hard, you practice a lot. The one thing they do, you can tell from when the international guys come over here to know you go to college or go to the NBA or something like that, they very fundamentally sound. They spend a lot of time on skill work, skill development. We had players as young as 14, 15 years old on our team, you know, playing with grown men. So they really, you know, hone in on that aspect of the game. And then also, the second thing I think stand out is the fan base. I mean, it is completely different. Like, for example, here, you know, fans are, you know, just sitting in the seats and making camp or just, you know, kind of be civilized to be exact about it. Over there, I mean, they up screaming, beating drums, playing trumpets. It's just a whole little, it's almost like a soccer game.
I love it.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Well, Ken, I just again want to thank you for giving back to the community. That's going to be the Triple Threat Pete Myers and Ken Winston Basketball Camp being held today and tomorrow from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. at McGill Tulin. And if people want to sign up, they can sign up at genoskillstraining.com. That's genoskillstraining.com. It will be held at McGill Tulin CYO Gym today and tomorrow from 1 to 5. Ken, thank you and look forward to seeing how this camp continues to help our youth, and look forward to talking to you down the road in Roll Tide Roll.
All right, thanks, guys. Roll Tide.
Thanks. That's Kennedy Winston. Of course, we remember him from Blount High School and from the University of Alabama. And, boy, he's some kind of high school basketball player. He's Mr. Basketball. I'm telling you, he was a heck of a player. And, you know, I never understood why he went undrafted. I do. I never understood that.
I agree. I mean, you know, Title Towel gives Ken a lot of love and just really loved watching him play at the University of Alabama, as we all did. And he played for Coach Haynes at Blount High School, the legendary coach from Moss Point, and here at several schools along the Gulf Coast. But just watching Ken play in high school, I was coaching Blount girls at the time that they did win the state title. And it was just a show to go and watch him play and his abilities. And now he's using his overseas training to give back along with Gino and Pete, and that's just a great father-son combination as well. So if you have an opportunity, you want your youngster to go and learn some fundamentals of basketball, take him out to that skills camp.
You know, when you think about Pete Myers too, I can't help but think about Jack Robertson, his junior college coach at Faulkner, and boy, what an amazing career Jack had there at Faulkner. Of course, now his son Robbie continues that legacy there at Faulkner. It really is a coastal community college now, I think, Corey. But I'm sure he had a great foundation coming from Jack's program. We'll be back with more PSR, another hour of Prep Sports Report, right here on FM Talk 106.5 and the Big Yay 106.5, as well as the Lake 105.1.
Live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
Listen to the wind blow, watch the sun.
Man, boy, oh boy. They don't make music like that anymore.
Nope.
Just don't do it.
All right, what was Fleetwood Mac called before they became Fleetwood Mac? Anybody know?
Let me Google that real quick.
No, I don't Google it. Anybody know?
I do not.
Buckingham Knicks.
Yeah, because of Lindsay. Yeah, that's right. Lindsay Knicks.
Come on, that's Rick. Right. I knew you should have.
I can't believe you got me on a music pocket question. That's doggone. That's bad. That's bad. John Blackman would have a wreck if he knew that you stumped me on a stomach question like that.
He would. And we don't need for John to have
a wreck. No, we really don't. You know, our buddy Rush Probst is back in the news. And, of course, Rush has been a friend of this program for, 17 years. And Rush has always wanted to get into college coaching. And let me tell you, and I've said this, and I'm on record as saying this, and Corey can vouch for me for this. I think Rush Probst is in the top five, knowledge-wise, strategy-wise, as a high school football coach that we've ever had in this state. And I'm well aware of everything that happened with Rush Probst. I probably know it as well as I mean, Corey, we've chronicled that on this show.
Yeah, he's been on.
I mean, you know, we've talked about it. We've been through it. Understand the problems that Rush had in his life, and that he created. He created those problems, and he has suffered the consequences of those. But when you talk football coaches, Mark, and you followed him at Bryant, and after Ed Lathan hired him, and Ed knew exactly what he was doing and what he was getting when he hired Rush Probst. But I think both of them got exactly what they aspired to get out of that situation. And he went to Eufaula. And then, of course, he goes.
He was first. He went to Eufaula, then came to Alma.
Came to Alma Bryant.
He came to
Alma Bryant. Alba.
He was Alba right. for 1 year, then right. it was Alma Bryant.
But he was at Eufaula when Ed hired him.
Right.
And, of
right.
course, then he went on to Hoover, and the story just gets bigger and bigger in his personal life. But the dynasty he built, along with some really outstanding coaches at Hoover, is second to none. No question about it.
I'll say this. I mean, I know all the stories. I mean, we've heard them all. I know Rush.
But
well.
Every high school, you can count a thousand high school coaches that got the same story.
That's right.
And college coaches.
But not on such a high profile
right.
level. And so what happens with Rush is that Rush, in my opinion, he was an innovator. He was very, very way out there in front of the marketing of a program.
Right.
He built his program up there. He built it at he was doing it at Alma Bryant when I came there, and then he left and went to Hoover because of the – I mean, there was no contest in the amount of money that was coming through Hoover.
No,
and that was money that would go through his retirement, not anywhere outside. It would be retirement money. But he went to Hoover, and he changed the culture of football in Alabama.
Changed it forever.
I mean, never. Yeah. I mean, if you get it now, you get – and I call them Rush Disciples. You know, if folks played for him, there's a couple of them in college coaching right now that are coaching college ball. They took a lot of the things that he taught and they made it theirs. They're part of it. But Rush changed it in that you're not going to outwork him. You're not going to outpractice him. You're not going to outorganize him. You're not going to outmarket him. That was his belief. That was just his belief at Alma Bryant, at Eufaula. Go all the way back to Asheville.
Yeah,
I mean, he was that way there.
Yeah.
He was always an innovator, and I always thought he was ahead of his time.
Well,
and he changed football in Alabama forever, and he's done a great every. And you can't say anything except the guy can win football games. I can tell you that. I mean, he's gone to Colquitt County. What's he done? He has built another dynasty. He has.
And they were awful.
Yes.
They were awful when he went to Colquitt.
They were awful.
Yeah.
And it took him, and don't forget now, that first year, I don't even know if Hoover made the playoffs his first year at Hoover. I don't remember correctly, but I'm not sure that they did. It seems like if they did, they lost in the first round.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they even made it. But he had some building blocks to do, and he did it. So, say what you want about the guy. There's some things you cannot argue. Great football coach, great football mind, great marketing mind.
Yeah.
He knew how to market his program.
Yep.
And that's why people flock to Hoover. You don't have to worry about whether Hoover's going out recruiting people or not. Everybody's saying, oh, they recruited this guy. They don't have to. He built a program that people want to go to. So people moving in from out of state, where do they want to go? If they're going to move to Birmingham, where are they going to move? They're going to move to Hoover. And that's just the way it is. I mean, what's the difference between, and I don't mean this ugly, and don't take me the wrong way, what's the difference between Hoover and Spain Park? They're in the same school system.
Mm.
They're right there next door to each other. They're both the same. The difference is what Rush created historically before Spain Park ever got on the map, really. And if you go to Spain Park's campus, holy cow.
It's
unbelievable.
Yeah,
second to none as well.
Second to none. You know, but Rush built a dynasty. Now, Spain Park's done well. Don't get me wrong. Please don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but they hadn't done anything like what Hoover's done. Not even close.
And
not even close.
And it could be they're just trying to catch up, and they may not ever catch up.
Well, they may not. They may not.
Because Josh Niblett's doing a pretty good job right there.
I'm going to tell you, Josh Niblett is as fine a football coach and as fine a manager is in this country coaching high school football.
That's exactly right. I saw him day before yesterday, and he told me to tell you hello, Corey, you hello, and he wants to be on the show.
Well, so, he's got to answer his phone.
There you go. That would help.
I mean, Corey and I have called him. How many times we tried to call Josh?
You have to book him on his
I'm
calendar.
I'm going to tell you something. That son of a gun can still play. He is ripped up. I mean,
I'm sure he is.
I looked and I said, Lord, look at this guy.
Coach, he took flack for ripping his shirt off at that pep rally. Might have been against Spain part, showing that muscle physique that he had.
Man. His daddy's the same way. His daddy, John's exactly the same way. He's ripped. We played slow pitch softball all over this country. John Niblett could hit it 2 country miles.
Well, I feel bad. Every time I get around Josh, I suck my belly in.
Oh, yeah.
I don't wear tight shirts around Josh.
But the reason we're having this conversation is Rush is back in the news again. And you talk about people that he started at Asheville. And really, he started with Bill Clark's daddy. Bill Clark, who's now the head coach at UAB, he started with Reagan Clark.
Another innovator.
Another way ahead of his time. Right. Way, way, way ahead of his time. But Rush is in the news now. Jeremy Pruitt, the head football coach at the University of Tennessee. Defensive coordinator at Georgia, Florida State, Alabama. We played Hoover at Daphne 4 years in a row for the state championship. Look who all was on that staff. Of course, Rush Probst, Jeremy Pruitt. And you know what those rascals did? They had that big sign that you run through at the end of the game. It already had that year.
State
congratulations, state champions.
Imagine that. Rush is not confident.
No. But he's in the news, and the reason is because Jeremy Pruitt was not able to hire him as a position coach. Now, he could have hired him as an analyst, but Rush didn't want an analyst job, and he wouldn't take an analyst job.
Not going to take a pay cut.
No, not going to take a pay cut. But he couldn't take an on-field position because Tennessee had signed one of his players.
Yep.
So that's and Rush is just – he thinks that rule is should be done away with. And I'm not so sure I don't agree with
that. I'm not so sure either. Let me ask you, let's talk about coaches that are in leadership positions in college that played or worked for Rush.
Well.
Correct me if I'm wrong now.
All right.
Bill Clark.
Yep.
At UAB.
UAB.
John Gross at Jacksonville State.
Yep.
Chip Lindsey at Auburn.
Right.
Those three I know for a fact. I'm trying to think.
Well, Jeremy Pruitt
at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Bryant Vincent.
Yep.
Was he with he was at Spain Park.
Right.
He may not have been.
I don't think he was
he
at
He may
either.
Not have been.
I don't know that would have been a good marriage.
No.
I just don't
those
know.
Those two are two pretty headstrong
coaches. That would have been a tough marriage.
Great football. Bryant Vincent's a great football coach too. He is. But Rush, I'm just telling you.
Not in Rush's class.
He changed the culture of football in the state of Alabama forever.
Yep.
And the way football was played, especially offensively.
Yep.
But let me get you this. Don't ever forget for 1 second, he wasn't a great defensive coach because he was a heck of a defensive coach. That guy knew some defense.
We'll be back with our premier motorsports guy right after this break, right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Live on the Prep Sports Report Radio Network, it's the Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to PSR. Let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines and talk to David. David, how you doing, pal?
Doing great. How's everybody this morning?
Doing good, bud. What we got going on out at Premier?
I tell you what, I just got in four or five cars I bought over the past couple weeks, and I've got a gorgeous 2011 GMC Denali 2500 with a 6.6 liter diesel. This thing is beautiful. Black on black. Won't find another one like it around the state, I promise.
Those are pretty, pretty vehicles. I bet I'd look good sitting in if I could get a booster chair to get up in it and sit up in it.
It's got the step box.
Got to step bar. All right, tell us where you're located, pal.
We are in Triton, right at the Spring Hill Avenue split. You can always find us at PremierMotorsportsMobile.com or on Facebook, or give us a call at 251-338-9019. We can do it all over the phone, keep you out of the heat.
Hey, we appreciate what you guys do, David. Thanks a bunch, pal.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You know, Corey, we have, of course, Hoover just had their 7-on-7 national tournament. Wasn't a local tournament, wasn't a Jefferson County tournament, wasn't an Alabama tournament. It was a national tournament. Two teams from the state of Alabama, two teams from right here, a team from the Eastern Shore and a team from here in Mobile. McGill Tulin played Spanish Fort in the finals of that tournament, Corey. And McGill Tulin ends up winning a national 7-on-7 tournament. And of course, we got Ernest Hill on the line. Coach, good morning and congratulations. I'm still, as an offensive line coach, I still have some I have questions about 7-on-7, but that's a mighty, mighty big win for you guys to go to Birmingham and win that 7-on-7 tournament.
Yes, sir. Good morning to you also. It was a big tournament for us. A lot of competition there. But that's, you know, as an offensive line coach, I understand what you're saying. You know, you don't have to protect anyway.
That's right.
You know, we just like to do it just because of the we just like to compete, and that gets our receivers, our secondary, and our quarterback just get everybody on the same page, and you know, of course, our linebackers.
Coach Hill, a lot of skill players in the 7-on-7, and scoring is different in 7-on-7 everywhere you go, but you're a huge defensive guy. I know a couple of years ago, teams didn't score really over 7 points against your defense, and you look at you having a veteran quarterback, Sheldon Lehman, coming back, and you have receivers Dallas Davin and C.J. Evans. On the defensive side of the ball, you have a new secondary this year. You have Sawyer Brader, Jaden Mosley, and Tyler Hansley. Talk to us about the offense and the defense, what you have returning and trying to make that push this year again at the 7A level.
Yes, sir. On the offense side of the ball, of course, we got Shelton coming back. You know, he's a commitment at Memphis. He's a big leader for us on the offense side of the ball. And, you know, some guys he got, you know, to throw the ball to, hand it off to, C.J. Evans. He's going to be a big, big factor for us this year. He has a, you know, unique running style. He actually reminds me of Ito Smith. Nobody's ever going to get a good lick on him. He's always moving, got quick feet. So he's going to be a big factor for us this year. Our returning receivers, Jennings Clayton, Bo Hightower, and Dallas Daffin. And we got a new kid. You know, he was on the team last year, Jordan Mosley. You know, those guys are going to be a big factor for us. And, you know, we got Jordan Drake. We got quite a few, you know, receivers over there that we expecting to, you know, help us out this season. I'm very excited about those guys. They put up some big numbers in 7-on-7. So Shelton, you know, he's pretty excited about those guys. And we know, you know, with me hiring a new offensive coordinator, you know, he came in and he saw those guys, and you know, we got a smart group of kids at McGill, and some of the stuff that he's did in the past, it takes a lot of thinking and a lot of course, athletic ability to, you know, to run his offense. So those kids are picking up on that, you know, pretty well. And on the defense side of the ball, you know, we lost three secondary guys, Eric Gare and quite a few guys back there. So so we had to, you know, revamp that, and we have Corian Wilson. He's the only one that returned, but, you know, we actually moved him to corner, and he played safety last year with Tyler Hansley. He's coming along. You know, he's premier corner. He's tall. He can run a little bit. We're excited about him. And Jaden Mosley, he's going to be a sophomore, and Sam Satterwhite, he's going to be a senior. Sam been the backup quarterback for 2 years, and you know, I didn't want to waste a person like Sam to, you know, sit over there and watch. So I moved him in, you know, to the secondary, and he did a great job this summer picking up everything. Sawyer Brady, he's playing outside linebackers for. He's a one of our leaders on defense, and Mr. Huff, you know, he's playing a lot. You know, we had a good group that, you know, that went up to Hoover, and you know, they bonded, and They finally came together. I was worried a little bit about, you know, the back end of our defense, but they are gelling and, you know, trying to put everything together.
Coach, we're a couple of weeks away from getting the football season started to where you can get those shoulder pads and helmets on those young men in all positions. Talk to us about this upcoming 2018 season. You're in 7A Region 1. You've had an opportunity these last 3 years to win a state title, become runner-up in a state championship game. Talk about the push forward and what's your new slogan going to be for this particular football season.
Well, our new slogan is actually commit. And, you know, we want these guys to commit to what we're trying to do right here. You know, I tell them all the time, it's very easy. You know, these guys have been on the football teams. They've been to the state championship 3 years in a row. And, you know, sometimes they get complacent and they just think people are lay down for them because they're McGill. But, you know, they're gonna have to work. And, you know, in order to work, they got to commit to, you know, commit to the weight room, commit to one another, and to commit to what, you know, the coaches are trying to teach, though, you know, teach them. But, you know, this season, man, you know, Region 1, you know, we're down here, in Mobile, and we got great competition every week. Non-region Spanish Ford, that's going to be a tough first ball game. And, of course, Murphy, you know, that's, you know, really nothing to say about that, about playing Murphy, just because, you know, it's a big rivalry for the community. We go into West Monroe. I took Blunt off the schedule and tried to play somebody nationally in West Monroe. That's going to be a tough game for us, but, you know, we need it. And so we're going down in Shreveport to play. But our region, you know, every year we have great competition every year, so it's going to be tough, going in week to week, and everybody's going to be trying to knock, you know, McGill off the map. And it's like a state championship for those guys. And, you know, the coaches are probably telling them the same thing. So we're excited about this year, But, you know, our goal is to, you know, not just get back to the state championship game. We actually want to win it. And but, you know, it's going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of commitment and, you know, a lot of time.
We're talking to Ernest Hill, the head football coach at McGill-Tulane. Ernest, I think there's a lot of talk about instant replay simply because mm-hmm. you use it at the college game and at the NFL level. We have implemented that in high school. Mm-hmm. Are you guys on board with that? Is that something you're in favor of?
Well, you know, I'm not going to say I don't like it. We're not going to do it this year just because of financially. And, you know, the other part is, you know, I don't want to be out there throwing a red flag and keeping the fans out there longer, keeping us out there longer, another 30 minutes. And, you know, if a referee makes a bad call, and, normally our official crew, they do a great job. So that's one of the reasons why I didn't do it, because I thought our official crew does a great job. So I don't have to, you know, do anything like that. Not yet, anyway.
Well, and you know the other side of that coin, what people are going to say, and I know it doesn't matter what people say, but if McGill can't afford it, who can afford it? You know, and that's what people are going to say. And at the same time, you're making a decision what you think's best for your football team and your school right now.
That's right.
And I understand that, but that's going to be the question a lot of people are going to ask. Well, if McGill can't afford it, can some of these real small 1A, 2A, 3A schools, can they afford it? So
right,
maybe that's
right.
Something that needs to be looked at from the High School Athletic Association, and I'm sure Steve and them will look at it. Ernest, thank you for taking some time out with us this morning. Good luck to you. Congratulations on a good summer. And we look forward to keeping up with you as we move along in this, this season.
I should appreciate you guys calling and keep me in mind and putting me on air.
Take care, Ernest.
Take care, buddy.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk to you soon. We'll be back with more PSR right here on FM Talk 106.5 and the Big Yay in the Lake, WRFS 105.1.
PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to your hosts, Rick Cleveland, Mark Lasseter, and Corey Labounty.
All right, Corey, there's your band.
I'm telling you, talking out of the side of your neck, Southern University, going to play Alabama A&M coming up in September. Everybody get ready for the human jukebox.
Well, I'm going to tell you that Ladd Stadium will be packed with people who want to see those two bands. I'm just telling you. And the football's good. Lots of talented football players going to be on that turf at Ladd. With these two bands, my daddy used to say I'd walk a mile to smoke a Chesterfield. Well, that's an old one, isn't it?
That is an old one.
That's an old one.
Holy cow. Do y'all know what Chesterfields are? Does anybody,
I'm going to think, maybe a cigar?
No.
I don't know.
No. It's an unfiltered cigarette.
Yeah, that's right. And we are not proponents of cigarette smoking.
No, that's just something
I saw. Absolutely are not, but I'm just, that was a saying. But there'll be a lot of people that would walk a mile to hear those two bands, I can promise you. I imagine Dalt would even do that. Let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines and talk to Glenn. Glenn, how you doing, pal?
Is this you, Rick?
This is me.
Hey, this is Glenn. You and I have been talking the last month about the new family worship service at Christ United.
For, yes, sir.
Families. I just wanted to thank you last week for mentioning it. For those that don't know a lot about it, it's for people of all abilities, not just special needs. So if you are in a situation where you can't make it to church in the morning, we'd love to have you at 3:30. The next one will be on August the 12th. And it's really amazing to see folks that have never been able to go to church because either the sanctuary is too big or it's too loud or whatever, come into this type of service. We've had one lady who just joined the church and had her son baptized because they weren't able to find a church where he would feel comfortable because of his autism. So it's amazing. They walk through the door and they're instantly quiet. It's just really amazing. But if anybody has any questions, they can call Christ United Methodist Church through the week, and they'll be happy to give you information about it. Like I said, the next one's August 12th at 3:30. It's a fun time. We have puppets. We have a sign language interpreter. Just any need you, noise canceling headsets, fidgets for those that need something to do, with during church. The sermon's real brief. It's about a 10 to 12 minute sermon, so it's not real long for the people that have a hard time sitting still. We'd just love to have everybody come and join us some Sunday.
Hey, Glenn, we certainly appreciate you reminding us of that and bringing that to us, and we certainly want to be a part of that. And we'll do our best to be there the next time in August when that occurs. We certainly are excited about that.
I had the occasion to meet Robert Brazil.
Yep.
I don't think I've ever met a finer man in my life than Robert Brazil. He was just a pleasure to meet. I met him downtown during a Mardi Gras parade. I was there at another function, and he was sitting there on his little golf cart, and we had a chance to talk briefly. What a fine human being he is. Just a beautiful man. Unbelievable fellow. I appreciate the kind words you said about him earlier.
Well,
thanks a lot for,
all right, Glenn.
Thanks a lot for letting me talk a minute. I appreciate it.
All right, pal. Take care. Well, that is so true about our friend Robert Brazil. He is he's one fine man. Let's go to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines and talk to our buddy Scooter. Scooter, how you doing, pal?
Good morning, Wood.
Good morning, pal.
Good morning, Coy.
Good morning, Scooter.
How you doing? I'm your son of Saturday morning breakfast, ain't I?
All the time. You got Coach Laster in the building, too.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning there, Scoot. I know I've been out for a while. I know. I missed you, too, man.
You must be proud of your St. Louis Cardinals beating the Cubs 18-5 yesterday.
Oh, yes, I heard about that. They were scorching it.
By Rob Carpenter?
Carpenter hit three home runs. Is that right? Good gracious.
Have you been to Wrigley?
Have I been?
Yep.
I have stood outside Wrigley. I sure have. I didn't make it in that night.
They'll never tear down that ballpark, will they?
No, they won't tear it down. It'll be there. It'll be like Rickwood in Birmingham.
In Fenway in Boston.
Yep, that's right.
Well, do you watch tennis much, Rick?
Yeah, I watch it a lot.
Oh, nobody. Djokovic was great at Wimbledon, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He's a great grass court player. Perfectly fits his game perfectly. Serving volley guy.
He's going to win the U.S. Open, too.
It'll be tough for somebody to beat him there, but you can bet on Roger Federer and Nadal will be in the hunt in that.
Why do you think this country can't develop good tennis players anymore?
Well, because the USTA is just not we just are not doing a very good job. Stan Smith was in charge of that for a while, and I don't know what's happened to the USTA as far as our developmental program. program.
Here we got a great announcer, John McEnroe, but he needs to go back to playing.
Well, he still plays a lot. John plays a lot on the senior circuit and has a lot of fun doing it. Scooter, we're going to give you a trivia question here because we know that you are the trivia king.
Hey, Scoot.
I do my best.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
In the summertime, Coach Nick Saban plays in a certain league that they play around noon. Do you know what sport they're playing at noon on the campus of the University of Alabama with Coach Saban?
Doesn't he play golf?
He does play golf, but he has a noontime basketball league.
Yeah.
They play on the campus. Bunch of the guys, that it's kind of a fun thing that they do every day. I think they play it every day. And now remember, now Coach Saban, 68 years old. Or 67, I think.
67.
And he's still out there running up and down full court basketball games, and his team always wins.
No, that's not true. They don't play full court. They play half court. I gotta fix that for
you. Don't me. You think Alabama's
okay.
the favorites to win it again?
Yes.
Oh, they are, Scooter.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they are.
But you
are.
Better be aware of those Kirby Smart Georgia Bulldogs.
I don't know, Scoot. I don't know. It's going to be hard to
watch
to duplicate.
It's going to be hard. Ohio State.
It's going to
sure.
be hard to duplicate. And I'm going to tell you who you better watch out for is when Georgia and South Carolina play. That'll be a dogfight, literally. So
yep,
that'll be something.
Will.
Well, I remember when Steve Spurrier beat Georgia in South
yeah.
Carolina.
Well, Muschamp, and you just keep an eye on Will Muschamp at South
don't
Carolina.
Don't you, when you think of South Carolina, you think of George Rogers?
Do. Heisman Trophy winner. All right, Scoot, give us that pump.
Woo!
Thanks,
thank you, Scoot.
Scoot.
God
take
bless
care.
You and have a good week.
Have a
you
great
too,
week,
buddy.
Scoot. Let's go back to the Premier Motorsports Communication Lines and talk to Reg. Reg, how you doing, pal?
Hey, Coach Cleveland, I'm doing great.
This is Reg Duncan. Yeah, Reg. I can remember many games watching Reg catch behind the plate. I
absolutely,
sure
Coach. Well, I got a ninth grader coming on now, and he's not baseball. He's all football all the time. So I'm on the Daphne Quarterback Club, and I want to see if you let me plug a century ride we got going. I got into doing triathlons and cycling here a few years ago, and so we're partnering with Infinity Bicycles right there at the end of Champions Way in 181, and on Sunday, July the 29th, we're having a century ride. So basically, that's a 100-mile ride, but we've got a 5-mile kind of fun loop set up, and then we got it's going to be a two-loop ride, so 50 miles that'll start at the high school and come back. If you want to finish the second 50, you can continue on. We'll have rest stops and protein and Gatorade and all that set up for the riders, but it's just basically a $25 donation to ride, and we're going to have on a good event for the high school.
Reg, have you lost your mind?
Pretty much, Coach. I mean,
great.
If you told me about 10 years ago I was doing triathlons and I did an Ironman in Augusta, I'd have probably told you he was on some kind of drugs.
Man.
I don't know. It's something's gotten in my blood, and I love to be outside, and so people don't realize the community we have here of cyclists and triathletes.
Right.
And if you can put on a good event that's supported, people will show up. So that's our goal. This will be the first one. So we're hoping to have some, you know, good amount of people sign up, and we've got an Eventbrite website set up. So if you go to eventbrite.com and just search Daphne Trojan Century Ride, you can go on there and register and donate your $25. And we're gonna leave from the high school at 7 o'clock on Sunday, July the 29th, and so we're going to have some support from the Daphne Police Department and helping us get out on the roads and what have you, and then go from there and have a good event before, during, and after. So just wanted to let everybody know, Coach.
So Reg, how long will it take you to bicycle 100 miles?
Well, it just depends, Coach. On there's some that'll ride in a pack, and they'll average 25 miles an hour or so. So, you know, those guys are in the four-hour range. Now, there's some – an average pace is probably 15 to 17 miles an hour. But we'll go up we'll leave from the high school, go down Champions Way, make the left on 181, and then go up Jimmy Faulkner. So there's a lot of hills up that way, and we'll circle back, you know, all some back roads through Loxley and make our way back down through Silver Hill and back to the high school. And then the second loop will – go down 13 all the way to where 13 hits 98 and kind of wind our way back through Main Louis Springs and back to the high school down 54 again. But, it could take up to 6 hours for some people. But, I mean, it's probably anywhere from the 4 to 6 range. So we'll start at 7. We'll probably be there at 1:30 or 2 till the last folks actually come in.
Well, let me ask you this question. If I wanted to ride in this thing on my bicycle, could I get a room at that bed and breakfast out there on 181 when I need to take a nap?
You could, and I'm going to tell you, I got a bicycle built for two, so maybe what you'll
do. There you go. Great answer.
Maybe.
We put me and Rick on that
no.
bicycle.
Oh, no,
that's
right.
We need to pump up the tires on that one.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's why I told Coach King, I said, we'll get on there, Coach, and I'll pedal you the first 50, and you can pedal me
there
the second.
You go.
How about that?
There you go.
Well, Kenny, you and Kenny King could probably do
that,
but
right.
I don't think Lassiter and I can
promise you that. That's
Reg,
a great job. Thank you for doing that.
Reg, thank you for giving back.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing.
Absolutely, Coach.
I mean, boy, you're talking about a guy that loved the game of baseball.
Yes.
I mean, Reg loved the game of baseball, played for a tremendous baseball coach, and during a great time at Daphne High School. And, Reg, thank you so much for giving back.
Absolutely, Coach. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, pal.
All
right.
Want to remind everybody again about football season coming up. There is a need for football officials. The Metro Mobile Association needs officials and chain crews, and will train you on how to do that. They meet every Wednesday at Davidson High School at 6 o'clock p.m., training starts at 7. You can give Tim Porter a call with no problem at all. Tim Porter, he will help you out. That's 251-583-2075. That's give Tim Porter a call if you're interested in becoming a football official for the 2018 season. You can call Tim Porter at 251-583-2075. They meet every Wednesday at Davidson starting at 6 o'clock. Training starts at 7. So please, if you're interested in becoming a chain crew or a football official, give Tim Porter a call.
I hope you'll be able to join us next week. We're going to talk about that subject of officials and how they are treated. There's a big fear at this point throughout the United States that we're going to lose officials in all of our sports because of the way they're treated by coaches and fans and players. There's a reduction. You can look at the numbers. They're going down. We run out of officials, folks. We don't have games anymore.
We'll be back with more of our faith segment presented, boy, by the Kemp Grace folks right here on FM Talk 106.5 and the Big Yay 106.5 in Sylacauga and the Lake 105.1.
This segment of the Prep Sports Report brought to you by Kemp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile. It's the summer home of Camp Rappahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, this week I was fortunate enough to go up to Montgomery and spend some time with our coaching staff at Bayside, and just get to, you know, talk with each other and see each other in a different light, not at work, not working the whole time, just being friends and seeing each other and talking to each other. And then, you know, Rick, you get to go out and you meet all these other guys that you've coached with at some time in your life. You meet former players that are now teachers and or coaches, and you spend time with them and rehash some old stories and old memories. But all that starts someplace in our life, and it gave me something that I wanted to talk about today, is about friendship. One of my biggest values in life, it says in this article I read on friendship, it says, I believe I developed the value of friendship early in my life through the schools that I attended. I come from a decently large suburb, but attended a small private school growing up. My grade always had about 50 kids in it from kindergarten through high school. I went through all these years with basically the same group of kids. We helped raise each other. We went through everything together, and I knew all of them well. The small school and class environment allowed me to get really close to my peers. I look back on those years of the friendships I made as very special. I'm still very close with most of my friends from that day. I've taken the value of friendship with me into my college life and after college, where I have a new group of very close friends. Whenever I'm down in need of someone to talk to, I can always look to my friends. I know that they have my back. I have always have theirs. If I need anything, I can always look to them and really value the friendships that I've made. I really think it's important that even when we're in school, we're doing our homework or exams, the burden to figure out our lives is that we still have friends to rely on and spend time with. There's more to life than just our jobs. Friends help make your life happier. In 5 years, this value will be very important to me as I move to a new city with people, with new people. I need to make new friends who will spend time with me on the weekends when not at work. I will also maintain friendships that I've made from home and school and will keep in touch with them regularly. Together, this will help me create a large network of friends all over this country. I was reading that, and I was thinking about this last week. And, Corey, it was so awesome to be able to walk through a room, and a young man walked by me whose nickname in high school, at Hamilton High School, was Booney. That was his nickname. Played wing back and defensive and outside linebacker for us. He is now assistant superintendent at Madison County Schools a little bit north of Huntsville. And I was talking with him, and he was relaying to Jamie Ferguson, our athletic director, as we were standing there talking, about an incident that occurred when I was there and what it meant to him. You know, and he says, and my friends and I still share that. He said, when we go through a tough time, we remember that time we went through it with you, Coach, and you talked with us about it and how we could overcome it. But the need for friends grows as we get older. And as I get older, you know, I look back and I know right now today, if I need somebody, I can pick up the phone and call the three guys in this room and all three of you are there for me. You know, I just know that. And I know that because of that, my life is a lot better. Because I know that I have friends that have my back, or I have friends that are there to help me when I need help. Today, the male figures in our country have a difficult time asking for help. We can handle anything. We can do anything. We are the masters of the universe. I say that tongue-in-cheek, folks. So what I mean by that is all of us need help. I need help. You know, coaches, we feel like we can defeat anything. You know, we're going to win a game. We're going to do this. We got financial trouble. We're going to win over it. We're going to figure out a way. We're going to have a game plan to win. If that game plan doesn't work, we'll go to the next game plan. But today in our lives, I have learned this very true thing. If I need help, I ask for help. And in that way, it helps me know and gives me peace in my heart that everything's going to be okay. Everything will be fine. Just ask for help, and people are there to help you. And, man, along the journey, holy cow, all the friends. Rick, just think all the friends that we've made. And as I think about friendships, and I saw a lot of friends this last week, it touches my heart. It brings tears to my eyes that I have a network of friends that I can call on if I need them. And, of course, you know, my best friend is at home with me. And she's the one who takes care of me when I'm really down. She'll say, you need to get your fanny up and go to work. You know, you're going to be all right. So anyway, that was my thoughts for today, was on friendship and how important it is in our life. It makes me so much happier.
Mike Sherman was dismissed as a head football coach at Texas A&M. And a friend of mine who's a high school coach in Texas sent me a copy of what Mike Sherman sent after being fired in College Station. He sent me this letter that Mike Sherman sent to all the high school coaches in the state of Texas. And in that letter, Mike Sherman said, we must never lose sight, however, with the opportunity to coach these young men and experience victory together. There also comes a huge responsibility to make a difference in their lives. We must never lose sight of the fact, once their coach, always their coach. And Mark, that's something you just talked about. Where others, mamas, daddies, aunts, uncles may have failed them, we as coaches just absolutely cannot fail them. Where others have created mistrust, we must bring trust. Where others have created disrespect, we must bring respect. Where others have let them down, we must support them. We owe them that regardless of their talent or their ability. We owe that to them regardless of wins and losses. Mark, that goes hand in hand with exactly what you were saying today, because so many coaches make such a huge difference in our lives. We've all three are products of coaches that made a difference in our lives. Our prayer here is that as men and women prepare to coach this upcoming school season, we pray that you will follow what Mike Sherman has shared with you to do exactly that, make a difference in a child's life.
Quickly, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. That comes from John 15:13, and that goes back to talking what Coach Lapsiter just said.
Guys, thanks for being a part of PSR today. Thanks to all our folks in the Sylacauga, Talladega County area, and Childersburg, and especially those folks around Lake Martin at the lake. We certainly appreciate you folks being a part of it. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. We'll see you here next time, same time, same place, right here on Radio Alabama.